Dave and Rebecca, or you may not know, Dave and Rebecca are in Denton, Texas. They flew down, I believe, Wednesday, and they're coming back Monday. And they traveled down with Nan Frederick, Dan Stone, I think Shannon might have been flying down as well, Dan and Kristen Walsh, and John and Sandy Halverson. And they went down to Gloria Zion. Chuck Pierce, there it is. I'm going, what's his last name? I kept coming up with Chuck Missler. He was like a PhD physicist, apologist guy. Very fascinating guy to listen to. But Chuck Pierce and Dutch Sheets. So for those of you that may or may not have been at the gathering, I don't know if it was a conference, I guess it was a conference, down at the Holiday Inn, Chuck Pierce and Dutch Sheets were sharing about how they felt like God had showed them that there was going to be a fivefold apostolic center in this part of the country, and that there were like seven places, I forget how many, around the nation that God was going to raise up an apostolic center in the spirit of the fivefold ministry and the fivefold gifts that Jesus gave the church. And so they're down there pursuing that in the sense of pursuing the Lord and then going there to get information and see what they have to say about it and see what the Lord would say through this trip. Because this is a group of people who are functioning and operating that and expressed through their own uniqueness. So, Father, we just pray over those. Father, we just pray over them now, Lord, that the time that they've had there and those that remain, God, that your spirit would continue to move and continue to clarify and bring clarity and confidence to each one as they're there about the path forward, the direction you would have us go as entities and as groups of your believers, of your children, of your family. God, that we would be in the place where you desire us to be, that the harvest might come in, that we'd be prepared to position, Father, to grow and mature into what it is that you're calling us into. So, Father, we just pray for each and every one of them. Father, that there be unity in your spirit and your purpose, God, in this thing, whatever it is that you're doing and birthing. We just look forward to stepping into it, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll receive the offering, if you gentlemen want to come up. Yeah, the Lord is faithful.
Amen.
Given it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Seek ye first the kingdom, right? All right. Well, Father, we just thank you, God, for all the resources you've given us, and we just thank you for your eyes are upon the heart, God, that whether it's the widow's might or the rich man's wealth, Father, that your heart is connected to our hearts. And we just thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for seed time and harvest, God, and every application of that, Father. And we just pray for an increase in the individuals of the lives of everyone here and within the sound of my voice, Lord, that spiritually, emotionally, financially, relationally, God, that wholeness be in their lives. Shalom, peace, Father. And we just pray over the finances and the harvest and the increase of those that sow and invest to your kingdom, God, that the fruit would come, God, to their account, God, to be used for your purposes and your glorification. We just thank you for your faithfulness to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know that I have any. Oh, there was. I had announcements in my bag. Not necessarily for this, but they were passed out last week, so it'll be a good reminder. So, let's see. Apparently, Sunday, June 18th, Craig Jopie will preach. Sunday, July 2nd, potluck after church. Sunday, July 16th, combined outdoor service picnic baptism down in Park Point. So that'll be at 10 o'clock at Park Point, and that's July 16th. And then on Sunday, September 17th, so that's September, plan the combined service at Great Lakes Church down in Lakeside. So that'll be also at 10 o'clock. So just a reminder on those items. And if there is anything else, anyone else had to add that I'm missing or forgotten? All right. So we'll see how this goes. This might be 20 minutes long or an hour. And it also might depend on what my battery does. So Dave comes up here with his tablet, right? I come up with the old laptop because the engineers were PC guys. And because we moved into our house, our printer isn't all hooked up yet. So I couldn't print anything. And so I'm going to be looking at a screen here. Let me just fix something here.
Did you make them?
prefer paper. In fact, I don't think I've ever taught off a screen before. Well, PowerPoint, I guess, but that's kind of like paper. It's easier than this. I can't click through the slides. So really, I guess, kind of consistent with what Tracy shared this morning, that she felt like the Lord was showing her, is this really dovetails, I think, into that. And I just wanted to talk to you about dreams, vision for the future, and dreams that God has birthed into your heart in years past and even yet today, things that are stirring in your spirit and stirring in your heart. Because I would like to think that each of us have dreams for our life, right, of some sort. If we don't, that would concern me, because it would mean we've somehow lost hope and that things will be different or greater in whatever measure than where we are today. And that can create complacency. Contentment is good, but contentment isn't the same as not wanting to grow. Amen? Right? Contentment is I'm satisfied with what I have. I don't, to the extent that I don't have to have something else to be satisfied, but yet that God has more for us. Right? It's always a growing process. Growth never stops in the kingdom. And sometimes it's easy that we might have dreams for our children or our grandchildren, because there's something easier and safe about that because we're removed from it. I can hope and dream in my children or even for friends or family members because it kind of removes myself from the equation. And sometimes it's a little scary to dream and lay hold of the things that are stirring in our hearts, because it's about us and it requires us to participate in them. And so it's sometimes easy to be active in the dreams for other people, but yet God doesn't want us to forget about the things that He's spoken into us in our heart and the things that He's planted in us. Now, many, if not all of us, when we were younger, in different levels, we had different dreams for our life. We had things in our hearts that we looked forward in our life, right? In our youthful exuberance and optimism, we looked ahead. Our whole life was ahead of us. Some of us are halfway. Some of us are over halfway. My dad said, when I don't remember how old he was, maybe it was when his 70th birthday, which is a while ago, he'll be 79 this year. I remember him saying, yeah, if I take a tape measure and I look at 70 inches, he goes, there's a whole lot more behind me than there is in front of me. It was kind of his way of quantifying it, which I thought was an interesting way. It puts a nice graphic to it. But at some point in our life, we looked ahead at the grandeur of life and thought about the possibilities. Now, depending on where we were spiritually, that may or may not have included God, right? And that may or may not have included His plans for our life. But there was something stirring inside us, that there was an expectation for the future that we didn't know how to tap into yet. But we were excited to see what was going to unfold. Now, when I was a young man, my heart was to be married, have children, and have a good job. Fairly simple, but yet really important in their noble goals. But they weren't exactly pushing the envelope of needing dependence on God to come through, though He was involved in those things, right? So I want to contrast that, where we can set comfortable and safe goals as opposed to something that's going to stretch us. And I think God always wants to stretch us, because I don't know if this is going to be properly said, but I don't think He really is interested in us being comfortable, right? He wants us growing, and growing is uncomfortable. And if you look at the periods in your life where you had a lot of growth, you had somehow, at some point, had to get out of your comfort zone. Something pushed you forward, whether it was a coach, whether it was a teacher, whether it was a parent, whether it was whatever that circumstance is in your life. There was a process that was uncomfortable, either physically or might have been emotionally. It might have been, if you're an introvert, public speaking is frightening, right? And they always hear all these statistics about people would rather do X, Y, and Z than have to publicly speak. There's this fear of public speaking, that people don't like the idea of being up in front of groups of people and having to speak. But there's things that God has put in us. And so when we look forward in our life, we would evaluate where we were with where we wanted to be. And even now, no matter where we are in our journey or in our life, we kind of need to take stock. And once in a while, we might even ponder back and go, back when I used to think or dream or desire or want this. And now today, I look at where I am, contrast to that. And depending on what that is, that can make you a little uncomfortable, right? Because I go, here's where I thought I was going, and here's where I am right now. And I find that there's a disparity between the two. There's a gap between the two, and I'm not in that place where I was hoping to be at this time in my life. And so in times when we do that, we can sometimes feel like a failure. We can feel like we missed it. We can feel like there's something wrong with me. We can feel like, well, God didn't use me or God didn't do that in my life. We might even blame God. We might blame others. But really, what do you do when that thing that's in your heart doesn't come to pass? It takes endurance, doesn't it? If you're going to push through to that thing, well, first of all, when the enemy comes and tries to get you to question what it was that was in your heart to begin with, well, that really wasn't God. Well, maybe, maybe not, right? We need to be evaluating those things and be willing to change our course to align with His. But we need to make a decision at that point. Do we now let go of that dream, or do we continue to pick it up from there and move forward? And so what I really want to do today is just encourage us to reignite those dreams and visions we have in our hearts for our life and pick up the old ones or the ones that we feel are incomplete or not completed. Because if they're of the Lord, they're important, not only to us, but to those around us and for His purposes and what He has and wants to accomplish and do in the earth and do in our city and our community. So when you think about dreams, oftentimes one of the first things we come up with are, what are my abilities? Like, what can I accomplish with my resources or what I know or what my experiences are? And I would like to think that if we're pushing forward out there with God and we're on that cutting edge, He's going to be calling you into things that you are not qualified to do, because it's not in and of ourselves, right? We might grow into that naturally, but at the moment of the call, when that dream or that vision or that peace hits your heart, the enemy is quick to come in and point out that you have no experience that qualifies you to do what it is that He's calling you to do, right? Todd White this morning was talking about, had mentioned, talking about Paul, Saul at the time, of course. Well, he was perfect to reach the Jews, but God said, no, you can go to the Gentiles, right? It's like, he was trained as a Pharisee. He knew he was mentioned under was Gamaliel, high-profile guys. He was like the name of names. And he's like, no, you don't need to go to the Jews. You can go to the Gentiles. And so it was kind of a flip over of going, yeah, I know you're really qualified to go here, but I'm calling you to go here, because it creates a certain dependence on Him that we don't, in and of ourselves, we tend to rely, when we can, we like to rely on our own abilities and our own resources, because it's comfortable, right? We like to do what we can accomplish in and of ourselves. One, because we don't like the concept, and maybe more so in this country, I guess, I don't know, abroad, but we don't like the idea of failure in some respects. We have a culture that one of the byproducts of our capitalist system is that there's this thing about success and accomplishing and succeeding and building things that is different from a lot of other cultures. Some people have said, if you want to have a strong family, move to Europe. If you want to become rich and accomplish and build something, move to America, right? So, generalization, not necessarily saying I ascribed all that, but point being is that we have a culture here that is about building, it's about growing, it's about innovation, and it's about creating something new. And so there's things within our own culture that we're affected by that we don't always realize. And so it's scary to us to sometimes go and fail, air quotes, because we tend to carry too much identity in what we're doing, right? We identify, it becomes part of who we are. And if we don't succeed in however we define success, then we are somehow less valuable, right, than had we accomplished the thing that we set out to do. So I ask you that because there's things that maybe God has asked you to do or be involved with or is asking you or is going to ask you to do, right? So do you really believe in your heart? And I use these things kind of like as a little litmus test, right? It's like, do you believe in your heart that God can use you and your family to change your family's lineage of where they've been, whether it's addiction, whether it's poverty, whether it's divorce, whatever, right? Just pick it. And you can look back and you go, I see this pattern through my family's history. Can you really honestly and confidence go, I can see God using me to break that piece in my family's chain, right? And that becomes pretty easy. Might be, how about change your neighborhood? How about transforming your neighborhood? How about transforming the place where you work? your city, your county, your state, your nation. At some point in there, we tend to start to disconnect from that, right? We go, well, family, I get. I could even transform maybe part of my neighborhood. I could see that. But you start talking about the state or the nation, and you go, that seems kind of big, right? That seems overwhelming. But if God's done it through one, can he do it through someone else? What about Will and Wilberforce? He's one of my favorite examples. I love the movie Amazing Grace. I watch that once in a while for inspiration. You know, because he really felt challenged by God to abolish slavery and restore Christianity at the heart of what it was supposed to be in the nation. Those aren't like two really small things, right? It's not like buy a car, well, buy a buggy back then. You know, I mean, right? These weren't things that he could just pull off in his own strength. He needed something more than what he had available. And even though he had a lot of things going for him and he had more resources maybe than most, naturally speaking, it was still beyond what he could accomplish in and of itself. And he invested his life in it and going forward with that. Moses changed the world. Henry Ford changed the world. Thomas Edison changed the world. Samuel Morse changed the world. Alexander Graham Bell, Martin Luther King, many of the founding fathers of this country changed the world. What if 1776 would have never happened? What if the Declaration was never written? What if? I mean, it's kind of fun to think about a little bit. I mean, you can only go so far down that path. But despite its shortcomings, our shortcomings as a nation, we've been an incredible force for good in the world throughout history. And with that vacuum, it's hard to imagine how things could be different. But I also believe we were God ordained. I believe God did really birth this nation. So if God can change the world through one other person, why not you? We tend to disqualify ourselves. I do, right? I start thinking about that, and in the flesh, I start pulling back. And so what do? I start limiting what God is able to speak to me, that I'm willing to agree with and partner with. And so what do? Now I limit God, because I'm going, well, God, that's a little bit too far. I think let's just start with this. And starting is one thing, but starting and staying is another, right? I mean, I know Ron and Mary, you guys visit the jail, right? What if he spoke to your heart, I want to open the whole prison system in the state to you guys? Okay, your initial reaction, there's going to be excitement, and there's going to be, really? The whole prison system, right? But doesn't God want to do that, right? Yes, he's going to use individuals, but he moves through people at times to accomplish things in the earth that are much greater than ourselves or any one person. And so what I want us to do is take those limitations off. Because if we're not uncomfortable, if we can accomplish these things in ourselves, I don't think we're going far enough with God. And I limit God. I'm not telling you I'm there as someone who's spent 45 years of this amazing walking in front with God all the time. I haven't. I've had my moments of glory in that, and I've had a lot of shortcomings, I've had a lot of failures, and I've had a lot of putting God in the box. And going, nope, this far is enough. I'm comfortable here. Let's stop. Right? But I don't want to do that. I want to take those restrictors off, and I want to move forward with God on the front lines. And I want to be at the cutting edge of what it is that he's doing. Because as much as you and I at times can look at ourselves outside of our identity in Christ and say we're a nobody, in the context of the earth, we're pretty insignificant in terms of the population of the earth. Frankly, in the context of this nation, we're pretty insignificant as an individual, single individual. But yet God can take nobody and make them a somebody and change things overnight.
Who's God?
Philippians 3:12. See, sometimes I don't always know. I have these engineer type jokes that I always hesitate because I don't know if people will get them or if they'll think they're funny. I never remember if it's 1st or 2nd Philippians. There is no 1st or 2nd Philippians. Engineering over.
No.
My mother.
Philippians
22. Yeah, Philippians 22. Yeah, my mother-in-law goes, something about, yeah, sometimes I get it, but a lot of times I just don't understand what you're talking about. Yeah, I can understand that. I get it. There's not too many workplaces where on March 14th everyone brings pie because it's Pie Day. 3.14, right? We're a sorry lot, but we're necessary. So, all right. First Philippians 3:12. It's fun just to say. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are mature have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us be of the same mind. God wants us pressing towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. And what is it that God is calling you to? My wife and I have had this conversation, and many of you know the testimony of how my wife and I got together and how God spoke to her separately and I separately that we were going to be getting married, but we hadn't talked about it because we never dated. We were just friends. And so basically our engagement went something like this. She was going to pray for me that week, and I went, so did you pray for me this week? Yep. Was it good or bad? Good. And I went, you ever feel like God wants us to get married? Yep. That was our engagement. That was the grand proposal. That was the grand proposal. We're driving in shock on our way to Grand Rapids, right? So you're going to be my wife? She, as is usual, the ladies are a little more in tune to the Spirit. Maybe that's an unfair stereotype, but she always seems a little ahead of me. So she had known for a little while, but she's like, I ain't saying nothing. She's like, he's going to have to say something to me because I'm not bringing it up. She goes, I went down that road once before and it didn't work out so well. And so it, you know, took me a while, a little bit longer. I heard one guy talking about, you know, with ladies and men. He goes, ladies, you got to remember, you know, your man, he's not perfect. You know, he says grubby things, but remember, he was made from the dirt. He says, now, men, remember, she was not made from the dirt. Right? So a little more value there. No, I'm distracted. So anyway, yeah, so we got married, engagement. Woo, yeah, got married. I don't even know where I was going with that. So I might come back to that later when I think of it. Engineering humor, laying ahead a goal, breast of upper call of God. I don't know, dreams. All right, anyway. sin is the root out of an Anglo-Saxon word meaning to miss the mark. So there used to be these longbow competitions, right? And so they had all the targets out in the field, and then there was a trench in front where the archer would shoot, and if he missed the target, the little guy would come up out of the trench. Maybe he was a little, maybe he was tall. I don't know. He waved a flag, and he'd say, sin, right? In a minute. They missed the mark. They didn't hit the target. And so what is your target? What is your life goal? What is your dream? What was it? What is it? What did you let go? What is brewing in your spirit that God wants to do? Do through you and through your life. I looked up the scripture. Because we have to remember, you know, I like this. This is the one that came to mind during worship. And it was Ephesians 3:20-21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever, ever, and all. Amen. Do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. You know, we limit God. We have small thinking sometimes. We really do. And we really need to learn to take that off. And it's kind of frustrating because it's such an easy thought pattern to fall into that we think small thoughts. So what are you going to trade your life for? Because finally, when you've lived your life and you expire, whatever you've done in your life is what you traded your life for. And I've always liked how that is said, and that isn't me putting that together. From Peter Daniels, this Australian guy. But it was really good because in the end, whatever we've done with our life, it's what you traded your life for. And when I heard that, it registered something in me. It shifted something in me. Because we think of as living our lives, we do our thing, and we go through life, and yeah, we partner with God to the extent we do with it, and we're cooperating with him. But in the end, whatever it was I did, that is what I traded my life for. That brought it to a different level for me because we really value our life. Right? That's like one of the most valuable things we have. In fact, the biggest, I was vacillating a little bit on talking about fear today, but one of the biggest tools of the enemy is fear. And most every fear is rooted in the fear of death, right? not subject to that any longer, but it's like the fear of not having money, the fear of not having food or shelter or provision or this or that, or death in relationships, death physically. You know, it's just fear, fear, fear. It's about death. It's faith and the confidence of the power of death. But God isn't death. God is life. And faith in the power of life is faith in God. And he's able to do exceedingly abundantly about all we can ask or think. And so I want to take those limiters off our thinking and focus on what that dream is, because we are trading our life for something. What's it going to be, right? Every day we're trading our life for something. Peter Daniels tells a story about he and his son Graham, and they own real estate through Asia and Australia. And his testimony is, I always find really interesting, and he's an older gentleman. He's, I'm not even sure if he's still alive. He'd probably be early 80s now. I saw him when he was in his early 70s. And he was illiterate, had a number of diseases, had scars on his heart from some diseases in terms of function. He was dyslexic. He was colorblind. And he came from a lineage, talking about family lineage, of serfs and servants for hundreds of years. That's all they'd ever been. And he got saved at a Billy Graham crusade in Adelaide, Australia, Coeur d'Alene, that must have been what I was thinking, Adelaide, Australia, and it just transformed his life. Not only the fact that he became a Christian and Christ was with him, but the big pivot for him was that he goes, if I was equal before all men, before God with, if I was equal amongst all men before God, then how was I lesser here because of the challenges that I had, right? And it changed his thinking from an illiterate bricklayer to thinking bigger, and he built a huge real estate empire through Australia and Asia. And one, he said there were two goals that he felt like God challenged him with when he first became a Christian. And he says, I wrote them on the back of a cereal box, and he goes, I still carry that around in my pocket to this day. And he said one of them was to see how much money a person could give away in a lifetime. And the other one was to change the world for 300 years and trying to find a way to partner with God. Now, those are dreaming big dreams. Those are dreaming big dreams. And he was standing in the lobby of one of their buildings with his son, Graham, and a man pulled up in his automobile and went into the building, and he said, Graham, and I've maybe shared this before, but it really impacted me. It keeps my juices flowing. I'm trying to think bigger than what I would normally want to think. Because I want to think comfortable. I want to think easy. And he said, Graham, I can tell you what that man is thinking. And he goes, why, do you know him? He goes, nope, I've never met him. He goes, but he's thinking about how to pay the note on his car, how to put aside some money for retirement, how to get his kids through college. He says, Graham, those are good things. He says, but if that's all you're going to think about, you'll never build an empire. And it was the concept of, we get, it's, like you said, they're good things. We don't want to forsake the small, the everyday things. But if that's all we focus our energies on, are we ever going to be really able to partner with God to go bigger and beyond? And we can't limit ourselves to just these small goals. You know, and I think it's easy, too, that we have to remember, because we, okay, well, I don't know about we, I'll say me. The enemy tries to get me to compare myself to other people, and Solomon was pretty clear that's vanity. Right? We can't be comparing ourselves to other people because we're not them and they're not us. And God isn't asking us to be them, and he's not asking them to be us. But there's this power of contrast that we somehow feel condemned in at times that we can't. We really can't. And so whatever it is that God's doing on your heart or what you feel is in your heart, you can't ever say, but that seems so small compared to, it's not this, therefore I'm going to disengage from it. Because God's also about faithfulness, right? He says, he who's faithful in the little things will be faithful in much, right? So sometimes he's starting us out. What are we going to be faithful in? Are we going to be faithful in the small things? Are we going to be growing in that? Because he's going to grow us in our ability, in our spiritual endurance. He's going to grow us in every way necessary to take us to the next level. I mean, really, every experience that you have and challenge that you face is preparing you for what God has for you in the future. That's the way I see it. Amen. It's like Paul said, count it all joy. Amen. Right? Well, why would I count it joy? And there's times in my life I've done that better than others. Other times I felt like laying down and just quitting. And other times I've had fight in it. And I remember one of the most stressful periods in my life. It's like probably in the top two or three, and I don't, sometimes they get so big you don't even know how to rank them. Ranking's important to engineers, sequence and numbers. But it's right up there with some of the biggest ones. And I just remember in that process going, I'm really stressed, and physically I'm in turmoil. I've got, my gut is wrenching, and I'm just, anxiety. But in the midst, my spirit is going, but I count it all joy, because I know this is preparation for what he's calling me to in the future. Walking through this process is creating something in me, perseverance, endurance, for something that God's calling me to and preparing me for in the future. And that count it all a joy, it doesn't always come naturally, but the more we practice it, amen, and the more we see what God's doing in the midst of these things, I think it can give us encouragement, it can make it easier, and help push us forward. So are you too busy to dream, or are you too frightened? Because it can be both. I get pretty busy, and I don't always take the time I need to just go, God, fill me with where you want me to go and what you want me to do. Because it gets schedules, it's families, it's kids, it's homes, it's business, it's, man, one thing after another. And it's like, to slow down enough and go, God, let's just dream together. What do you want me to do? What do you have for me? What can I partner with you in? And what can I do for you? So dreaming illustrates your hidden capacities, your unawakened abilities. And God will not give you a dream without giving you the ability to fulfill that dream. We might quit on it. We might pull back. It's like the seed we were talking about this morning. Everything that is necessary within that, for that seed to become the plant, the tree, and bear fruit, is in that little seed. It's all there. It just needs to be watered, sunlight, good soil, planted in good soil. We need to dream big, dream with purpose, dream on paper, and nail down the dream and remove the nightmares, because every dream has things in there that the enemy likes to quickly point out. Yeah, but if you step out and do this, this is what could be waiting for you. Right? I mean, stepping out and starting some businesses was like, yeah, well, you could lose everything.
We do dangerous things every day.
We drove to church.
Yeah, we drove to church. Driving down acid. We do dangerous things every day.
That's right. There's always risks. And the enemy will try and use those things to help us pull back, to stop us, to paralyze us from stepping into those things that God has for us. But those are things God will give you strategies for. He'll give you peace to walk through even when you don't have the answers. And we can't let those things hold us back. So we need to put life into the dream, live the dream, work the dream, plan the dream, expand the dream, then break it out and give it the permanence of planning. Even with Paul, he was given this vision and this charge to go to the Gentiles. Though he may not have laid out a 10-year goal, a 15-year goal, and this year I'm going to go do this, and it's hard to plan for getting thrown in prison, right? You know, this usually those are the details we don't usually get worked into our plans. But there was a point of, I have to go where the Gentiles are, and I know kind of what the region is, so there, at some level there was, well, we're going to go here, we're going to go there, and maybe the Spirit redirects, right? But we set out a strategy and a course, and then move with God as we traverse through that strategy and allow him to make the fine-tuning adjustments. Allow him to make the changes to get us to the place where we are. Was it Jesus where he was traveling somewhere and it said that the Spirit would not permit him to go through this certain region? Which I always thought was kind of fascinating, right? It's like he was going and he was heading this way. I'm going this way, right? You know, whether it was to not be there, or it was to go there, because that phraseology can mean the same thing. We wouldn't permit him to go there. Maybe it wasn't because there was a problem there. It was that, because he wanted him over here, right? But that as we move through the process, even that's an illustration, right? Jesus, he said, I do nothing unless I see the Father do it, and I say nothing unless I hear the Father say it. His life goal was to be the Lamb of God. It was to be the sacrifice. And there was this process that he walked through in conjunction with the Spirit, navigating the path that the Father had for him to accomplish his life goal. We don't always have all the details. We don't know what all the steps are. But we can create a framework and flush that out, and we can plan for the problems to eliminate those. God will give you the wisdom to do that and give you the understanding to do that. So I want us to live a life that's ready and willing to be spent for those who are willing to open their life to excellence through planned achievement by goal setting, and talking about that Philippians 3, right? For the goal that's before you. There's a prize out there that we're looking at, that we're setting our heart on to say, God, I would love to partner with you, that you've dropped this vision in me, and that this seems big, I seem small, but there's a process that you can work through all of those things. When at one of the homeschooling conferences, Michael Ferris was the keynote speaker, and trying to remember the Tyndale, what was his first name? Was it William Tyndale? The guy who translated from Greek to the New Testament and the Old Testament.
Oh, William Tyndale.
Yeah, William Tyndale. So he gave his whole life to translating the scriptures, escaping persecution, fleeing countries, because it was illegal to translate the Bible into the common language, right? It was predominantly probably in Latin, I suppose, at that time, right? And so the priests had it, and that was who had it. And they just all got to follow along with whatever the priest said that the word said. And so he spent his whole life translating and working to bring this to the place, to bring the Bible to the common man, and he got burned at the stake and died without ever seeing it happen. And I remember the Lord really challenged me all that, going, are you willing to commit your life to something you may never see the fruit of? That was a real challenge to me. I'm like, I like seeing results. Right? He spent his life, I forget if it was all the New Testament, half the Old, or if he translated all the Old and half the New, but he did one and a half of the Bible, essentially, and the King James Version used pretty much his translation. So his mission was accomplished, though he never got to see it with his own eyes while he was here on earth. So it's easy for us to hold back, but how far are you willing to go to reach your life goal? What are you willing to do? Are you really willing to be uncomfortable? Are you really willing to put yourself out there? So I just want us to dare to dream with God, to dream larger than ourselves, because we play it safe too often, and we don't extend ourselves into a place that feels risky, into the place that feels out of control, because we're not in control, to the place where we're partnering with Him with the things that He has for us. Because He's got a lot of wonderful things to be participated in, and we share testimonies every week, and they're all awesome. But God wants to do more, and He wants to do more, and I want us to partner with Him in that, and to really open ourselves to the possibility of things that are larger than we think we can really do in and of ourselves, and be open to that, no matter where we are in the course of our life, because God can redeem the years. He can restore those things, and He can accelerate the process. Time isn't a real issue for God, you know. And I'd still rather finish strong no matter how I feel about my past, right? Forgetting those things that are behind, right? Forgetting those things that are behind and moving ahead with confidence and strength into the things that God has for us. Well, Father, we just thank you, God, for all that you do through us, that you invest in us, your patience with us, and the equipping you do for us to minister to others, to touch and reach other people's lives, to seek your kingdom and to see heaven come on earth as it is in heaven, to see your will done. And Father, we just choose today to make ourselves obedient to your call, to responsive to your word in any area of our life, big or small, but God, that we would seek after you and seek after the good shepherd, that we would know his voice and we would follow after no other. And so we just thank you for your faithfulness to us, that you would include us in this, changing people's lives for now and forever. We just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.